Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hey.
Hey, I'm here with the geriatric Abby.
It's not easy being old. I hurt my back, and then I fell on my hurt back, and now it hurts more.
Here we are.
That's all. I won't try to move around too much, or you guys are going to be like, what is with the geriatric moaning in the background there?
I'm getting Abby Life Alert for Christmas.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Seriously.
Oh my gosh, my boss was like, are you okay? Because I told her that I fell today. And she was like, it was already bad. And I was like, I know.
Yeah, we got some nice ice here up in New England and Abby took a tumble. I told you, if you've been listening from the start, yep. You know that Abby is like the clumsiest. I love her so much. Clumsiest person.
The way that one day I will have broken every bone in my body from just purely falling on a random day. I can see it now.
Yeah, Abby went to urgent care and the guy was like, oh, you're not 15 anymore. So like, this is going to happen.
I was so pissed. I went in. I was like, help. I've fallen. I can't get up. It hurts. I took a leave. It hurts more. And they were like, yeah, you're just not a teenager. Grow up. I was like, ow. But also, they never even did like an x-ray. So I don't know if that was really a good doctor experience.
Yeah, that should have been taken a little bit more seriously. It's not like you go to urgent care all the time.
No. The last time I went to urgent care, it was either for cat scratch fever or it was the 4 months I had strep throat straight. That's true. So I just kind of tap out at some point. I'm like, I've seen enough HGTV. I know the home remodeling.
Yep. You know those twins very well now.
Oh my God.
From
Zooey
the waiting
Deschanel,
room.
Which one are you with? I cannot tell still. So, I mean, it's like nostalgic and homey in that way. But Also, I don't want to be there. I don't want to waste 3 hours of my night for you to say, well, I have an infant, so I know what back pain is.
Yeah, you're like, I didn't ask. I'm here right now. You're billing my insurance. Yes. Can you help me, please?
Fucking guys. So we'll see. Maybe I'll go to my doctor next week if I'm still immobile. But for now, I'm just walking like Regina George after being hit by a bus, and that's okay.
It's true.
Anyway, how are y'all? Are you guys doing better than me? Because I hope so.
Yeah, how you guys doing? How are the holidays shaping up for you? Let's see. We are coming up on Christmas here.
So
we're about a week out.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Did you do anything fun? Did you do like a Friendsgiving this year? I haven't, but my theory, my plan is that it's all a wash before the holidays because it's so busy.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
I figure I do like a delayed one in January.
Cute. I love that.
And we just do a little like potluck get together. Let's watch some shit and drink
Can you
some wine and
force your husband to make kielbasa.
I can do that part.
Oh, yay. What does he make that I like?
Crepes?
Yeah.
He makes some damn good crepes?
Yeah.
The kielbasa, are you kidding me? That's like the easiest thing in the world. I can absolutely do that. That's like the one thing I can't, don't ask me to make a turkey.
No, hell no.
But.
I'd never ask you to fist a dead bird.
Oh, God.
Never, not once. I wouldn't even ask you to take its giblets out to make gravy.
Oh, well, you just ruined my Wednesday plans, but okay.
Why? Are we going to like record it?
Oh my God. Oh Lord. Did you guys do anything? So, okay. I have a question. My dad is into advent calendars.
Yeah, it's so cute.
And it's been like the last few years he's gotten each member of my family one and they're awesome.
And thank you.
Oh cute. Yeah. Yeah, Abby's loving hers. Abby got one this year.
Yeah, I'm part of the family now.
You've been part of the family.
I know.
Go ahead, tell the class what it is.
It's Harry Potter. I'm so excited. It's been fun. And I knew I was part of the family when I got invited to family dinner night.
It's
but
true.
This feels like it really seals the deal.
Yeah, I know you're in there. And mine is like all these different kinds of jewelry, but like they're well made. Like they're actually nice pieces.
Yeah.
They're not like insane, but I think they're super cute and like fun and exactly what I would wear. And
they are really cute.
I felt bad. We didn't get him one this year.
Yeah.
I think he's more like he wanted to give that than get that. Of course, he got my mom a Beatles one. If you've been listening, you know that my mom is like the ultimate Beatles fan.
Yeah.
Which was pretty amazing. So anyway, do you guys do anything like that in your family? Do you have that with like family or friends? Or did you do like a a funny Yankee swap. I think we're going to a Christmas party, and I think it's gonna, it might be like a funny gag gift Christmas party, which I can fuck that up. I can do that.
I love those.
I can do that. So TBD on that part. But I'm very much looking forward to that. So what are your holiday plans? What are your pre-holiday plans?
What are your post-holiday plans?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Anyway, I just want to know. I'm so curious. We ask this also periodically, but like, what do you do when you listen? Are you driving? Are you taking a shower? Ooh.
I thought you were about to say taking a shit.
Are you taking a shit? Sorry. I'm really sorry. You guys are getting me in rare form today.
Yeah, she's like in pain and slap happy and
yeah,
running on no sleep, and we're just here for the ride.
Like, what are you doing and what are you wearing? Cause cute, and where is it from? I want to know.
So you can send that to our email about. No, I'm just kidding.
You can find it below though if you did like wanna. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we would like you to tell us
because it's cute, almost guaranteed.
Most certainly.
You have good taste. You're listening to us. So I know what you're wearing is cute.
Based on this intro, I don't know about that. Should we get into it?
Oh, we should before you let me say anything else.
All right. I think you need to do your thing.
Yoo-hoo! Pod's on.
Oh, God. Well, hi, hello, and welcome back to your favorite true crime podcast. Aww. About time for true crime. I have a case for you all today that really touched my heart and it made me cry. But you know, because you've been here before, that like they all make me cry.
Yeah.
This is a cold case, and it's the case of a young woman with the world at her feet. A woman who, by all reports, was one of the kindest, most gentle, loving, sweet people you could dream to know.
Aww.
And her life was stolen from her on her 21st birthday.
Okay. I got to lock in.
Yes.
I'm in.
Before we jump all the way in, I want to highlight some of the sources I used for this episode. I read articles from The Oklahoman, CBS News, Investigation Discovery, and more, as well as listened to a two-part series by Dealing Justice, which they actually interviewed a lot of her family and friends, so I got a lot of like their perspective on growing up and what happened in the investigation and the search and everything, so that was very valuable.
I love when you can get like personal information.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you've liked what you've heard from us so far in our little small corner of the true crime world, we hope you'll consider following so you can hear even more.
Yeah.
And of course, rating 5 stars, leaving a review, repost, tell a friend, donate. We love you and we want to know that you want us to keep doing this. We appreciate each and every one of you that we get to hang out with this week. That's all I'm trying to say. And we do. We want you to want us anyway.
And we want you, you know?
You know.
You know.
Anyway, Tracy. That's who we're talking about today.
Tracy.
Tracy Waterfield grew up in Texas on the border of Oklahoma in a town called Canadian.
Wow.
Imagine my confusion when I read that.
A Canadian from Texas?
Canadian, Texas. Her parents, Jim and Sandy, owned a ranch and were your typical all-American Southern family. They were God-fearing, kind, and genuine people. They had 3 kids, their oldest, Rick, the middle, Tracy, and youngest, Cindy. And when the kids were 11, 8, and 6, the family moved into town into Canadian. So they lived in like a rural part.
Okay.
And I think it was primarily like all farmland. And then they moved to like the town, which was 3,000 people.
We're not talking
about a very large place either. This is the quintessential everybody knows everybody kind of place.
Right.
And it was a small town, but it was also a great one where kids could run around and play outside and parents didn't need to worry.
Aww.
You really did know your neighbors and you really did trust them, which is pretty rare, I think, nowadays.
Oh, for sure.
In an episode of Dealing Justice I listened to for this case, Tracy's little sister, Cindy, talks a lot about their childhood and teen years.
Aww.
She joked that her big sister was much more a girly girl than she was, and that while Tracy hung out with the girls, Cindy hung out with like their brother and his friends. And so they were kind of different in those early years, but they ended up getting really close later.
Aww.
The family weren't super wealthy, but they would go on vacation every year. They'd go like on a family vacation, usually just to somewhere like warm, where a beach was. I mean, they were in Texas. It was warm, but they'd go somewhere where you could just kind of relax and have some fun. And
yeah,
there was usually some sand and water involved. And Cindy remembered how the boys at the beach would flock to Tracy because she was just so beautiful.
Mm.
And you couldn't blame them. Tracy was absolutely stunning. Bright blue eyes, perfect smile, beautiful long blonde hair. And her hair was shiny. Like, my hair could never do that.
Ugh.
I know. She was stunning in that natural kind of way where she, like, woke up beautiful. Tracy was born in 1960. So her teen years were in the 70s, and seeing the photos of her and her bell bottoms and her hair parted down the middle and the 70s fashion just makes me nostalgic for a time that I didn't even live through.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I also just looked her up. She is stunning.
She is stunningly gorgeous. Even though Tracy turned heads everywhere she went, and she did, she wasn't loud or demanding attention. She was really quiet. She was kind and funny and silly and goofy, but really smart. Cindy joked that Tracy had her fair share of blonde moments, and she'd kind of give her a hard time for that, but she was very smart and took school very seriously.
Yeah.
In high school, Tracy was on the cheerleading team, the basketball team, the track team. She was a part of student council.
Wow.
Tracy and Cindy were on the cheer team together when Tracy was a senior and Cindy was a sophomore.
Aww.
So they kind of got to bond over that. Cindy did become more girly. She got a little bit older.
Seeing that, yeah.
But they'd commute to high school together. I think Tracy drove them. And of course, Tracy would change clothes a few times every morning before putting on the outfit.
Atta girl.
And getting out the door. And Cindy joked that, like, they barely made it to school on time. When she graduated in 1978, she was her class's salutatorian.
Nice.
So Tracy was quite an accomplished young girl.
And super well-rounded.
Absolutely. After high school, Tracy went to college at Oklahoma State University. Her parents had graduated from there, so it was really special to her to be able to carry that torch. Plus, her parents loved to go visit her when she was at school there because for them, it was like a walk down memory lane.
Right.
They got to go there. They knew the town. They knew all the cute little places to eat and the campus and everything like that. And so it was really great for them to get to go visit, but they didn't want to overwhelm her. They didn't want to be a burden, so they didn't visit too often. But Tracy always welcomed them to come visit.
Aww.
But they also felt really safe with her going there because they knew that. They knew that area. They knew what was around. It wasn't like your kids going off hours away to somewhere you've never been before. This is where you got your start.
Well, and it was their home once, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she started college, she went through Rush. Here in New England, sororities are not as big a deal. I mean, they're around. At least in my experience, they were around, but it's not nearly as big as it is down south.
No.
Greek life is not like you have to choose a sorority and you have to do this, where I think in some of the bigger southern schools, like, your friend group really comes from which sorority you end up in.
Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot less emphasis, like, culturally, I feel like, at schools out here with Greek life.
Tracy joined a sorority and she made incredible friends.
Aww.
They were all so close and so friendly and really cared about each other, which, I mean, isn't always common either.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really great that really all of her friends seemed to love her so much. And even decades later, when we talk about them and when they talk about her, it's like they're back in time. They loved her so much. And their friendship was just wholesome. Friends from college remember Tracy as strikingly beautiful, and she didn't even know it. Like, everyone saw it but her.
Aww.
But she was kind and so friendly that people gravitated toward her because you just wanted to be friends with her.
Right.
In school, Tracy stayed true to her roots. She was family-oriented. She talked to her family all the time. She wrote them letters from school, which was, like, you know, old-fashioned even then. Definitely old-fashioned now when you can send a text.
Mm.
But she loved writing to her family. She wanted them to know how much they meant to her.
Oh, I love that.
She was very religious. She didn't lose that when she went out on her own and was kind of living her life as a college gal.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, her sorority sisters recall her writing in her Bible often, and she also kept a journal. Like, she really liked to write. She liked to write letters home. She was writing in her Bible. She was, like, she's really staying true to herself and true to, like, what she believed in and everything, even if others around her didn't. Her values and morals were set, and she attracted those who shared them. Tracy roomed with sorority sisters her sophomore year of school, and she had the top bunk. but you'd know it was hers because she had stuffed animals all around it.
Aww.
Which is, like, that not the sweetest, cutest friggin' thing?
I love that.
Ugh. Her friend Ricky remembered that Tracy always stressed the importance of family mm-hmm. and encouraged her to visit her family any chance she got. Her friend Ricky was actually from the town that the school was in, so she could see her family anytime, really. She wasn't far. But Tracy always just was like, if you have a chance to go see them and they're available, you should go. Like, she was just so family oriented, so just telling everybody around her to really just, you know, tell the ones you love that you love them. And I don't know. I love this girl. We would have been friends.
She sounds so sweet. And I also had a friend that we called Ricky in college who loved to see her family. And we were always like, go see her. So I feel like she is one of us.
Yes. See, it's just very sweet. Sandy, Tracy's mom, set up a blind date for Tracy.
Oh.
And one of her friends, I think it might have been like a double date, blind date. Anyway, that evening, Tracy met Jeff Nielsen. And if you remember from the title of this episode, it was Tracy Nielsen.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
So Tracy knew right away that he was the one. Aww. And he was very smitten too. I mean, he just instantly fell in love. They seemed to sort of be cut from the same cloth, with having a great family and similar values and valuing their education and working really hard. Tracy had wanted to work with people with disabilities, and Jeff was pre-med, so they were kind of in that like science-y, like medical field as well. And so they just had a lot in common in that way.
I love that. Two helpers.
Jeff remembers feeling like the luckiest man in the world to be with Tracy.
Aww.
He found her kind and genuine, beautiful and smart, and he knew he wanted to marry her. Around Christmas break of Tracy's sophomore year, when he was a senior, he asked her to marry him in her living room. He joked that he was a broke college kid, so of course he didn't have a ring, but they made that promise to each other that night, and she said yes.
Oh.
He said something to the effect of, it wasn't Hollywood, but it was perfect.
I love that.
Like, they were young and broke, and they're sitting on a couch, and he was like, you want to marry
this
me?
This is it.
Like, I want to marry you. And no getting down on a knee, no ring, nothing. He was just like, this is it. And he was like, it didn't have to be glam because it was perfect.
I love that.
So basically just rip my heart out and stomp on it.
Yeah.
He adored her, and her family welcomed him with open arms. I mean, they really did adore him. And I know I'm harping on this, but like, of course, no relationship is perfect, but they were just so happy and in love, and then the rest kind of falls into place from there. When you're good people trying to do good things, you'll hit
your stride, and good things genuinely happen for the most part.
Yeah, you'll have a tough time, no doubt, but at least it can be okay,
right?
Because you've got each other.
Yeah.
Tracy had a beautiful wedding. She had several bridesmaids, like something like 8 bridesmaids, which I cannot relate. I had 2 and it was perfect.
That's a lot.
Some from high school, some from college, her sister, of course. And the weekend of the wedding, all the girls stayed at Tracy's family's house, which is a very full house and just crazy chaotic, I'm sure, to be prepping for a wedding and hosting like 10 yes. people. That just sounds insane. But they hung out in the hot tub with curlers in their hair the day of the wedding, because the wedding was like an evening ceremony.
Aww.
So they had all day to like lay out in the sun and hang out, and they just had their, you know, curlers. Like, one of them joked, it was like, yeah, we didn't have anybody to come do hair and makeup at the time. It was different then. You did it all yourself. So they just were all sitting there. I think they've got pictures of them just like chilling in the hot tub.
I love
and,
that.
And Sandy would come out and bring them drinks and snacks and everything, just like really wanting them to feel at home and comfortable. Aww. And everyone was just having a good time.
I love that.
On July 26, 1980, Tracy married Jeff in a beautiful ceremony at a Methodist church in her hometown of Canadian, Texas.
I love that.
One of her bridesmaids said the dresses for the bridal party were a wine color, and Tracy's mother, Sandy, gave the bridesmaids a beautiful necklace for the wedding that they all wore that day. Her friend Tina can't part with her dress. She still has it all of these years later. Jeff and Tracy honeymooned in Colorado Springs, and when they got back, they moved. They moved away from the OSU campus and into an apartment near Oklahoma University, where Tracy had transferred to be closer to Jeff's classes as he was in med school. And the hours for him were grueling and work was difficult, so being a little bit closer to that campus was a great change for them.
Yeah.
Their apartment was cute, but more than anything, it was theirs. The newlyweds were over the moon, starting out on their own, in love and excited.
Mm.
Jeff joked that he had shared a small place with several college friends before that, like a tiny apartment with like five or six guys. So to have an apartment for just the two of them felt like a mansion, even though it was far from it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, tragedy was around the corner. January 5th, 1981 was Tracy's 21st birthday, but it would be her last. She got up that morning and spoke with her grandmother over the phone, who wished her a happy birthday.
Aww.
Then she went to the grocery store to pick up food to make for dinner that night. I think she got two lobsters. She ran errands around town. She had lunch plans with a friend and dinner plans with Jeff. And it was shaping up to be a good day. But friends and family who called her that afternoon, including her mom Sandy, never reached her. And they never would.
Mm.
Jeff's med school classes had started back up that day after the holiday break, but Tracy's hadn't yet. She still had a few days of break, so that's why she could kind of run around and get some stuff done around the house, where he was like, first day back, gotta hit it. And I mean, med school, I imagine that you're not really doing like icebreakers the first day.
No, probably not. So
probably very important for him to be there. He was up and out early to drive to campus. After his classes got out around 3 p.m., he was on the hunt for a birthday present because he had not gotten one yet.
Procrastination nation, my friend. Me
but
too.
He did know what he wanted to get her. There was this like expensive perfume that she really liked. Ooh. I think he couldn't remember if it was like Yves Saint Laurent or something, like something you'd get at a counter, probably at Macy's. And it was very nice, and very nice for the time. And she had liked that. So he was on the hunt to go get that. Like, he knew what it was going to be. He just didn't do it yet. So he drove about 30 minutes away to go get it. And he spent all of his Christmas money on her gift. So aww. Christmas was just like, you know, a week and a half before this. So he gets money for Christmas and then he goes and turns it all in to get this perfume for his wife.
That's so sweet.
He told her that he'd be back at their apartment by 5 o'clock. And that was like when to expect him. But he really probably realistically got there between 5 and 5:30.
Okay, yeah.
He walked in the apartment and the door wasn't locked, but that wasn't weird because she usually didn't lock it when she was home.
Mm-hmm.
He called out to her in the apartment, but she didn't answer. So he thought maybe she had gone out, but then he remembered her car being there or her bike or something. So that didn't really add up. He saw the lobsters out on the counter. So he was like, oh, I'm very excited. This looks great. He was like looking forward to the evening, but maybe a shred of him was a little shocked as like, well, where is she? Because he was kind of a little bit late. So
right.
If they were planning on eating when he got home, it wasn't done yet. So he was like, where is she?
Right.
And he started to look around for her. He walked into their bedroom and this is where he found her body.
Ugh.
Her throat had been slit.
Oh my God.
And she had stab wounds to her chest. Her plaid shirt was soaked in blood.
Aww.
Jeff panicked. Even all these years later, he's still so choked up when he talks about that day and what happened and what he saw. He ended up running to, I think, a friend's apartment for help.
Oh my gosh.
And the friend called the police, but the friend also called his parents to tell them what happened. So I think like they were on their way over, but his parents called her parents and word spread. When Tracy's family arrived in Oklahoma, they found him sobbing and apologizing profusely for not taking better care of her. Like, he felt it was his duty to protect her, and he felt that he failed in that.
My whole heart.
And so, of course, their heart is broken because Tracy's not with them, but then their heart is breaking for their son-in-law, who they love as family, who is their family, because they can see his heart breaking.
Right.
Jeff never went back inside that apartment. I mean, for the rest of forever, he didn't go back in. When it was time to get all of his stuff out of there, friends and family went in to grab everything and move it.
I get it. I don't think I could either.
But he couldn't bring himself to go in. And it's awful because this was a place he was so excited to have. It was a place that they were so happy to be.
Right.
And it was like he had the absolute best time of his life, bookended with the start of the worst time of his life. There was no lull. There was no in between. There was no boredom or anything like that. It was just best of life to worst of life instantly. Ugh. And so all of these things that you have your hopes set on, you're so excited for,
right,
that's all ripped from you. And he couldn't face it. So he didn't go in. When he ran out of the apartment that day, that was the last time he was there.
Wow.
her funeral was so packed and so full that not everybody could even go inside. She was so, so, so loved by her community. Her friends came from all over. They all drove together. They stayed for a few days. And when her friends went to the family's home afterwards, they said that Sandy just went to them and comforted them, Tracy's mom. So here she is grieving the loss of her daughter. And she's trying to make sure that everyone else is okay. She wants to make sure that her friends are okay because she feels so awful that they lost such a good friend.
Well, and what a testament to how kind her whole family is. Like, truly, it's just in their blood.
Like, if anybody would have an excuse to hate the world in that moment, it would have been that family. And instead, they welcomed everybody and just were like, can I get you anything? Are you okay? How, like, we're going to get through this. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just awful. Awful, awful, awful. She just only had love for those who came to show their love for her daughter. And she was just so focused on keeping them together. And this is the kind of family they were. And everyone said that. Everyone remarked just how kind they were. And not that kind that people on the outside can be until you get to know them.
Right.
Or they have that glass of wine. You know the type.
Yeah.
This was not that family. There's not a bad one in the bunch.
None of them are nice until they're not. They're just nice.
Investigators began their work, but there were so many questions and so few answers. And unfortunately, so many of those answers don't ever reveal themselves.
Ugh.
As you might have guessed, finding a motive seemed near impossible because Tracy, and Jeff for that matter, were so loved by the people around them. No one would imagine hurting her, much less this kind of brutal attack.
Right.
And it's always the husband, right? But this time, really, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff was proven to be in class and then proven to have driven to the store to buy that gift for her. And then he did arrive home like hours after she was killed. So there was no doubt in anyone's mind. He did not have anything to do with this. And if it's not him, who?
Right.
The lack of evidence of any kind of forced entry led investigators to believe that she must have known her attacker and let them in. But those who knew her disagreed. And here's why. She grew up in a small town. She wasn't the keep the door locked kind of person anyway. And further, even if it had been locked and someone asked to come in and use her phone or needed help with something, she would have 100% helped them.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone who knew her was like, yeah, she wasn't the like only look through the peephole kind of person. Like if you went to her and said, I need help, she would have invited you right in and helped you.
And it's just so beautiful that there are so many people like that. And it's so sad that I think that this is where so much of like the true crime girly anxiety comes in, because I want to live in a world where people are like that.
I would be that if I lived in that world.
Yeah.
Because you want to believe that there's good. And of course there's good in people, and the vast majority of us are. But it's that very rare occasion where you might cross paths with that. And that is a risk that so many of us aren't willing to take. And that's what's really awful, is because it's stories like these, it's cases like Tracy's that are sort of that warning.
Right.
And we don't even know that this is what happened. We don't even know.
Right.
But if that is the theory that they were saying of, oh, she must have known them, those who were close to her, and many people were, because she was just loved and adored and friggin' amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Seem like if someone said my car broke down or I need to use your phone or I need to call someone, she would have been the first one to be like, please come on in, let's get you taken care of.
Right.
Descriptions of a suspicious male around the apartment complex were reported and sketches were made, but no one fitting the descriptions were ever found.
Ugh.
So that pretty much started and ended right there. Missing from the crime scene, though, was Tracy's keychain that had her name on it, and they believe the killer might have taken it as a trophy.
Yeah.
This comes up a little bit later, but very odd because it was the only thing missing.
Right. And there was food, I assume not like super fancy things, but other nice things that could have been taken if they wanted.
Yeah, her wallet, like everything was still intact. It was like they came in to kill her and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Very odd.
Hmm.
A latent fingerprint was found at the scene, which in 1981, great, they knew that they wanted to preserve that, but they did not have a concrete way to match it at the time.
Mm.
So they were able to keep the evidence, but they weren't able to really do anything with it at the time. It was more of like a have it and wait and see kind of thing.
Right.
In 1994, 13 years in the future.
Wow.
13 years after she was murdered, Jeff Nielsen, her husband, His family and Tracy's family all advocated for the state of Oklahoma to purchase APHIS equipment, which is the automated fingerprint identification system, so that they might be able to test this fingerprint against existing ones in the database. And it wasn't just them. The OSBI also were involved in this. That's the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. So partnered with them and all of her loved ones, but really fronting all of this was Jeff. Ugh. They did actually purchase this equipment, which was excellent. And it was dedicated in Tracy's honor.
Why is that going to make me cry?
But it didn't yield a match. So it didn't get them any closer, but at least it's in there now. So if any other agency has a match or anything in the future, there's still hope every day that something could be run against it that kind of yields a result.
Right.
But at the time when they were hoping that maybe this person would have already been in the system, it just wasn't. Ugh. But this would not have been possible without her loved ones and the push from OSBI. So really her story reached so many, and it was because she was loved by so many people that people wouldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Oklahoma passed a law in 2011 that allows investigators to release certain pieces of information to the public if they believe that it can aid in solving the case.
Okay.
So normally where a lot of that would have been tight-lipped, you might actually be able to leak some things if you think that the public might be of use for it. With this new legislation, in 2015, the OSBI released a piece of information that they believed could help.
Mm.
It was something that they had in their possession since the initial investigation, but they really just didn't have anything to do with it at the time because they couldn't get to the bottom of it, and now they're at the point where maybe other people can.
Ooh, okay.
And this was a cable repair ticket. And what's odd about this is that there was an appointment dated the day of the murder,
mm-hmm.
and it was sort of written in there that it was at 11:51 a.m. If you right. remember, Tracy wasn't heard from again after the afternoon. So this, right. in theory, could be the person who killed her, or at least the last person to see her alive.
Right.
But Jeff did not remember there being any issues with their cable. So it was odd that a repair ticket would have been there when he didn't recall there being a problem. But I also imagine that of all of the details to survive that time of your life, maybe like the cable not working might not have been one of them.
True. Could have also been a mighty handy ruse to get in to the apartment. Exactly.
But it also would have meant that person needed to enter the apartment, and it was dated for that day at right. that time.
Right.
But in the spot on the ticket where they would have written their like agency, like the company that they worked for.
Yeah.
I think that wasn't written, or that company was since gone. Like, I think that company is now AT&T, but it was like South Bells, something, some weird company name.
Right. A small one that either got bought out by AT&T or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely yeah. just got purchased. Not a weird one, but like something that you and I wouldn't recognize, and locals Local. Today probably wouldn't, because it was probably dissolved a long time ago.
Right.
But also, there's a spot for the repair person to write their name, or at least sign it.
Mm.
And instead of writing their name, there was no legible name. There's initials.
Hmm.
But these initials are really difficult to make out. And I'm going to have a photo of this on our Instagram page. But they're ineligible. And the OSBI released photos of it. And again, we're going to share this on our Instagram. But they're asking for help in identifying these initials because they think that somebody would recognize that if you had work done around that time, or you knew somebody, or right. a friend signed it like this. You know, they've exhausted all of their efforts in terms of like going through employee records and trying to figure out who worked at all of these different places. Like if a cable repair place anywhere within like 50 miles of where they lived in Moore, Oklahoma,
yeah.
then they've kind of already gone through what they could do with that, but really difficult to know what you're looking for if you can't read the letters.
Right.
So this was a big deal for this to be released. And unfortunately, it hasn't led to the capture of her killer at this point. But they do believe it could be any company, past or present, in this part of Oklahoma. And they do think that somebody knows something.
Yeah. I'd imagine somebody has to.
The now former, then current OSBI director Stan Florence said, "We want help in identifying those three letters, identifying who that person was that wrote in that book." This yeah. is talking about in 2015 when this was released. And this was, you know, about a decade ago when they were releasing the statement. Like, it's not a new development in the case, but it's a new piece of information that can be released. And so now we're really urging anybody around this area, please look at this. Please carefully consider this. Please look for the keychain that said Tracy's name, because somebody's got to know something.
Yeah.
He also said, quote, "We think that anyone who did know somebody who worked in that field, especially in the Moore area in that time frame, they may look at those initials and be able to identify who that person was."
Yeah. Well, and again, it's one of those things that, just as a reminder, this doesn't automatically make them a suspect. It means they might have information that nobody else has. They could be the last person to see her alive, not the person who killed her. So they could be holding on to other valuable information that even narrows the window further. Who knows?
Well, and that's just it, right? So if you're the cable repairman and you go at 11:51 and she's believed to have been dead at least early afternoon,
right?
Maybe you do the work in the apartment and you leave and you pass somebody in the hallway that's heading to her apartment.
Right.
That doesn't mean that this person is the killer, but they could have seen something that they don't know is relevant. And maybe because it's almost posed as if, oh, well, this is the killer, they don't want to come forward because it's like, I don't want to add unnecessary drama and ridiculousness to my life when I know I didn't do this.
Right.
But they could have information that they didn't realize was important.
Exactly. I think a lot of times that's how people with information feel, because it's like, well, if I thought it was important, I would have come forward with it forever ago.
Right. And do I want to invite this into my life?
Right.
You know, but in my opinion, yes, the answer is yes.
Yes, please.
OSBI Special Agent Francia Thompson said, quote, "People's relationships change over time. If anyone, a former girlfriend or ex-wife, might recognize it and knew that it was taken from a crime scene, it could provide the lead that we need." This is her talking about the keychain.
Right.
Because it did say Tracy's name on it. So if you recognized it, and maybe it was your husband at the time, and, you know, things change. Maybe a dark side has presented itself. If you know something, say something.
Right.
One of the other theories here was talked about in the Dealing Justice podcast. And I didn't do any research on it because I didn't want to needlessly bring up somebody if they where I don't really think it there's enough information to go off of. But there were a few reports of a friend of Tracy's, a female that she was close with, that sort of had a grudge. Maybe it was like competing with her or jealousy or anything like that. And apparently when Tracy got married, her bridal shower was on this friend's birthday.
Okay.
And this friend was very upset about this because it was like, how could you do that? How could you not acknowledge that it's my birthday and like you kind of took it over kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was ever brought to Tracy's attention or if that was just like this person being frustrated and telling everybody else about it.
Yeah. And that happens with college aged girls, you know.
The fact that Tracy was killed on her birthday could have been some kind of like bookend to that.
Yeah.
Sort of like payback in a way of like, well, you did this on my birthday, so I'm going to do this on yours kind of thing.
Yeah.
There was just that like sort of emphasis on it being her birthday because there's 364 other days of the year it could have been.
Right.
So it just, could it just be coincidence and she just happened to be home and her husband wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's possible.
There's a bunch of different things, but it also was pointed to of like, well, if there's anyone she'd let in, it would be her friend, so you wouldn't see forced entry there.
Right.
But if that's the only thing you have to go off of, I'd really like to think that somebody being frustrated about a party being on the day that maybe you wanted your party to be a reason to brutally kill somebody.
Not it.
Seems a little ridiculous, but I will say this, that there was no sexual assault.
Okay.
There's no evidence of that, which is, if we have to find some kind of positive here, it's really hard to do that. But right. If that's one thing, at least that suffering, that piece of it wasn't an element, but that could offer some points to the whole it being a female offender category. If you are kind of breaking this up, you could consider that maybe because of that.
You also said she was stabbed multiple times, right?
She was stabbed in the chest and her throat was slit, and that's how she died.
Okay. Because I do know that every now and then we see people stabbing as sort of like a replacement for that.
Yep, of some kind of like sexual desire.
Yeah, and sort of like a, this is the control and I am I'm taking this power, even if I am unable to mm-hmm. in the other way I would like to. But that, again, that could still be a female.
It could.
It doesn't really rule anybody out. It's just a really interesting piece of information that paired with a weird birthday scenario, paired with the fact that she was so kind to everybody. Like, if what we're pulling at here is the thinnest of threads of, like, there was one conflict with a party on a birthday.
It seems so circumstantial.
It does.
And, like, if you line all the pieces up in a perfect way, you can kind of see it.
Right.
But to me, it's just not enough. And so I didn't see this woman's name anywhere, granted, so I wouldn't be able to share it even if I wanted to, and I don't want to.
Right.
I think we can all be immature, a little ridiculous, especially when you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. I think that, yeah. you know, if you're still the same you at 20 as you are, you know, 10, 20 years after that, I think maybe there's work to do. I think we should always be growing and yeah. evolving. So I'd hate to think that that would be a reason for that level of brutality.
Right.
But also important to note in that that is one of the theories. I don't know how seriously investigators took it, but I think maybe other people close to her were like, if anybody had a problem with her, it would have been this person.
Right. Well, and it's one of those that I assume after this long of being cold, if that ever came to their attention, and it sounds like it has because it's out there, that they would have looked into it. And if it was something serious, we'd at least know a name, or that would be a little more obvious of, like, there's a significant lead, not just like, hey, we heard this.
It also might have been the friend that she was due to have lunch with that day.
Oh.
It's possible, but I didn't see that everywhere.
Okay.
So I'm not super convinced.
Right.
And in hearing the friends and family talk about it on that Dealing Justice podcast, it didn't seem like, I don't recall everybody saying that.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think details can get confusing over the years, and then there's also that level of, like, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or maybe you really do think it's this person, so you're going to say, and yeah, she was supposed to see her that day. I'm not going to accuse anybody of doing, I mean, no, really, the only person wrong here is the person that harmed her. Everybody just loved and adored her, and they all seem like equally amazing people.
Right.
But there's a little bit there, so I didn't want to just ignore it.
Right.
For the sake of this, just because I don't think it's likely. I still want to share that with our listeners, but that's essentially where the case stands. So they've got that fingerprint that hopefully someday yields some kind of match. We know that we're looking for that keychain.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, in my opinion, the likelihood of somebody still holding on to that this many years later seems very unlikely, but not impossible, especially right. if it's a trophy.
Yeah.
And we've got the initials on that cable repair ticket. That if you recognize that handwriting or those initials or that signature, whatever you want to call that, that might be a lead. But
right.
that's kind of where that stands. And so if you have any information, I strongly urge and encourage you to call 800-522-8017. That's how you can report that. Or you can write to tips@osbi.ok.gov with any information. But I want to talk a little bit about the aftermath here.
Yeah.
Jeff did become a doctor.
Hey, for Dr. Jeff.
He finished his med school and he tried to carry on a normal life. But what he saw and the loss he experienced impacts him still. He's in his late 60s now.
Yeah.
And he's quoted as saying, "During my first years at medical school, I was dissecting cadavers, but nothing prepares you for that. It was absolutely horrible. It's still something you think about on a daily basis, and it continues to hurt."
Oh.
And he still gets so choked up about it because he remembers those years so fondly with her.
Right.
And the period that came after it just being so dark. And I didn't dig into his life too much. I think he has earned that sort of, you can move yes. forward. But I don't know if he's remarried. I don't know if he's got children. He did say in that Dealing Justice podcast, he's a very charming man. I could listen to him talk all day. He sounds like the female he sounds like the male version of her.
Okay.
Just yeah. like in how the way that she's described and like his Southern accent, just to me, a New Englander.
Yes.
I'm like, and they say they're ours, my hero, you know?
But I parked and you went, huh?
Yes. He's like, it's not that I never smiled again. It's not that I never laughed again, but you have to live with that loss. I mean, right. He loved her. And what he had to see to be the one that found her is just something that's going to stay with him, and that he has to find a way to live with and still live around it.
Right. Well, and it's one of those too, though. Like you said, it was the highest point in his life, in his whole life, until it was the worst. Mm-hmm. And there was absolutely no lull. There was no complacency. There was no comfortable in the way that you get with people that you live with for a long time, that you know for a long time, even the people you love the most in the whole wide world that you're so excited to see all the time.
They were married in July. She was murdered in January.
Yeah. That's,
so they had 5 months.
Yeah. And that is such a short time. And also, I can imagine it makes the grief process so much harder because you're still in that honeymoon. And honestly, the fact that he was advocating enough, he was still in it, present, and mourning enough for him to put aside that time to really make an effort to fight, even for just the fingerprint scanning, mm-hmm. is huge.
Like, he still dedicated a big part of his life to her, even though he couldn't share it with her.
Right. And that is so selfless, even in the hardest of times.
Cindy is married. She's Cindy Young now, mm-hmm. Tracy's sister. But not a day goes by that she doesn't miss her. She said, she was not only my sister, but my best friend and my example. Until she was gone, I didn't realize how much I depended on her. It's been very difficult for my family, especially my parents. Whoever killed Tracy has no idea how many lives they affected that day. And she was also quoted as saying, I truly feel that whoever it was would feel almost a sense of relief, maybe, to come and finally admit it to us, because we're Christians and we can forgive. I'm begging you, please come forward. Please just do the right thing, because it's time. It's time to do the right thing. It's time for us to finally be set free from the agony of not knowing. Tracy's gravestone reads, Tracy Diane Waterfield Nielsen, January 5th, 1960 to January 5th, 1981. I will miss the year-long spring of her.
Oh.
There is something so cruel about her death day being her birthday. And it's about the dash. You have your start date, you have your end date, but the dash between, that's the life that you live.
Right.
And hers was cut so short. And it's just haunting that the dash connects the same day 21 years apart.
Yeah.
Tracy's case is one that will stay with me. Having just gotten married myself this fall and looking forward to this chapter of my life, I relate to where she was and all that she was excited about.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little bit because I gave my bridesmaids necklaces for my wedding, and because my bridesmaid dresses were wine colored, and it just, there are those little similarities that you can see, and it, the pang is different.
Yeah.
Every source I found just spoke of how genuinely good she was, and that good was stolen from the people who loved her, those who would have gotten the chance to. And there's also a part of me where Tracy reminds me of my mom, in that mm-hmm. my mom is one of the most genuinely kind people, and a little bit younger than Tracy, but kind of that generation.
Right.
And has no idea how beautiful she is. Just the way that,
so true.
The way that my mom makes everybody feel special and loved, and like, she's just a special person, that there's also a part of me that's like, I won the mom lottery, and it makes me sad that another girl couldn't have had that in Tracy being their mom.
Yeah.
So that's just a different pang that I feel in this case. And as we approach what would have been Tracy's 64th birthday, I wanted to highlight her case.
Yeah.
Because we're nearing the anniversary of not only when we'd celebrate her life, but also where her death is grieved, and that it's just another year that her family doesn't have closure. I believe her mom is still with us. I don't believe her dad is.
Oh.
Her siblings, her family, all of the family that would have loved her, that came after her, still need and want answers, and they're deserving of that. If you know anything, no matter how minimal, if you have family that were around that area, around that time, please report it. Law enforcement has investigated over 1,500 leads. they're happy to trace down the leads. Her case is still open. And Tracy is deserving of that justice. And her wonderful family is deserving of whatever closure they can finally receive from this. And also, society should be rid of the monster that did this, because if you could take that bright of a light out of here, what else could you do?
Truly. Especially with that little left behind. I mean, really, if you think about it, yeah, I know we didn't have the technology or the resources that we do today, but it wasn't like the Wild West where you could go and scream your name and what you did and you'd still live to see another day, you know? Not live, but you know what I mean? Like, there's an element here that is so unknown, it's scary. And when we do talk about cases like this, like, you think about the family members and the close friends, because unfortunately, when you work in this field, when you see the monstrosities that some people are capable of, you go there first, because it's what is statistically usual. But not every case is statistically usual, and there's nothing about this that says anyone who loved her could have done this to her. And there's also nothing to say that anybody she knew didn't love her.
Exactly.
And so that is its own sort of pain here, because we always talk about the secondary victims in these cases. Yes, someone died. She was murdered in her own home.
On
her birthday.
On her birthday, one of the few days that really her husband would be gone, but she wouldn't be.
Right.
Like, she was just about to start back up at school again.
Right.
That's why, like, it's these little details. Like, who knew it was her birthday? Who knew she'd be home and he wouldn't be? Who would, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's certain things where it's like, well, it kind of makes you think it would be somebody that she knows. Yeah. Or at least somebody that knows her schedule. But then you think of all of the people who knew and loved her, and that was anyone who knew her loved her.
Right.
So, I mean, unless you had some deep-seated jealousy, which was entirely your problem.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't hurt a fly.
No. And there are just so many people here still suffering for not knowing. And the fact that it is open, like, what a phenomenal opportunity to do something good for people who have done good.
Who continue to do good. And having the APHIS system in Oklahoma, like, that changes lives. And it has changed lives. So while it didn't bring justice for her, it brought justice for others. But now it's their turn.
Yeah, they deserve something.
Something.
Ugh,
so
awful.
That is the case of Tracy Waterfield Nielsen. I feel like I know her in reading all of this. And of course, like, she would have been like a cool aunt.
Yes.
At this point in my old age. But with it being timely and, you know, what thinking of what her family will go through these holidays, like, this will stick with me.
Yeah.
And it's the anniversary is around the corner, so I thought, what better time to cover her case?
Well, and thank you, because it's one that we needed to hear. I mean, obviously, it's still not solved. People need to hear it. There needs to be more word out. And if you know something, say something. It's huge. You know, I have an aunt out here who passed early, and my family still talks about her all the time. From any perspective of your family unit, all of these people matter so much, even to the people that weren't born at the time that the tragedy happened. So anything that you can do alleviates not only the pain of the generation that mourned her in real time, but everyone after that as well. And ideally helps everybody else out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth a few obnoxious scheduling calls and appointments for what comes out of that.
Exactly.
And that's at worst, truly. Like, having to talk to people a few times is the worst case. Because you might think you have info and they could say, oh, yeah, we know that. Thank you. And that could be it.
But it's still worth doing.
It's always worth doing.
So we will include the information to make a tip in our Instagram, but also in the description of this episode so that it's very easily accessible for you. I'd like to hear from our listeners. Have you ever researched this case? Have you ever looked into it? Is there something that I'm missing? Or if you're from the area?
Oh, yeah.
Any of that nuance or that, you know, stuff that only the locals know? Is there anything that I got wrong? Tell me.
Tell us.
Because I want it to be as accurate as possible and The only way that I think anything gets closer to doing anything for Tracy is for the most accurate information to be going out.
Yep.
So let me know. But that is what I have for you today.
Well, thank you. And hey, now my heart hurts. And I'm sad.
I know it.
And my back hurts.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's a real upstairs kind of day.
I know. I know.
Well, you guys, we are a week out from Christmas, if you celebrate. We hope you guys are having a wonderful holiday season. And if nothing else, this is a great reason to hug your people a little bit tighter. Give your pets another squeeze, another pat.
As Tracy would want you to do, tell the people in your life that you love them,
mm-hmm,
and that they matter, because they do.
And also, what a great reminder that we are never promised tomorrow. No matter how exciting of a day it is, just make sure that you say what you want to say today.
You got to make use of the time that you have.
Hell yeah. Wow. Okay. So in the meantime, if you wanted to see the people, the places, the things that we talk about, if you want to send us something, send us information, give us that little 5-star review, leave a comment, any of that, you can do all of that in our link tree below. You can click on it. There's everything, including our Redbubble to buy a sticker or merch or donate to the pod elsewhere. So check it out. Kill some time on our Instagram. There's some funny, funny memes. There's some actual case relevant information and some resources if today is bugging you a little more than the other days. But hopefully you take good care in this next week. Take care of yourself. Take care of your people. And if I look at my clock, that was
about time for true crime.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodness.